Frank's suspicions had been confirmed. The diamond in GP hands were building an earthen dam, reinforced with logs.
And so far as I know, there isn't a thing I can do about it, at least for the present. But I can sure write some letters to find out what I can do.
The territorial governor is a rancher. Better not count on any help from him.
I'm not. But if somebody with the power to do something doesn't act quickly, this war could flare up again. And you know as well as I do who's going to start it and how.
Paul Adams. He'll blow the dam.
That's right. And then the GP and the diamond will start digging canals to divert the flow. A dam might be illegal, but canals aren't.
Wonder why Grant didn't think of that in the first place.
Too much work and time involved in something that complicated. He'd have to bring mules and earth scrapers in, and people with enough sense to use them.
You seen this done?
Yeah, there's a lot of work in doing it. When it's done, it's permanent.
I hope he don't think of it.
You and me, John.
Frank walked over to the newly constructed shell of the marshal's office, standing for a moment outside the building. Stone was being hauled in to build the cell area. When completed, the jail would be as secure as man could make it. Frank looked up and down the main street. Valley View was fast becoming a real town. Some of the news stores were already open and doing a brisk business. The church cum school was completed and painted. Men were working from can to can't, stringing wire for the telegraph. A telegrapher had been hired.
Amazing how a little village can spring into a real town practically overnight.
Just takes the will of the people.
Doc Archer walked up to Frank.
All working together.
I reckon so, Doc.
You going to stay on here and make Valley View your permanent home, Frank? After the trouble is settled, I mean.
Doubtful, Doc. I'll drift on in a few months.
And do what, Frank?
Just drift, Doc. Like I've been doing for longer than I care to think about.
And play Robin Hood somewhere else?
You're giving me too much credit, Doc. You said it yourself. It's the people who made this town. It was started months before I arrived.
Perhaps, Frank. But you were the catalyst.
You gonna stick around, Doc?
Probably. I like the country and I like the people.
You won't get rich practicing here.
I never looked to get rich, Frank.
You been paid in chickens and eggs yet?
As a matter of fact, I have.
Both men looked up the street.
My word. Who are those two ladies?
That would have to be Peaches Rogers and Lucy Perkins.
Peaches?
That's all I ever heard her called.
They are both quite, buxom young ladies.
I reckon I'd have to agree with you, Doc.
Peaches and Lucy rode closer, and Doc Archer's eyes bugged out a bit.
Frank, it appears from all the jiggling, those ladies aren't wearing any undergarments. At least not from the waist up.
Sure looks that way, Doc. Quite a sight to behold, isn't it?
The workmen stopped and stood in awe.
My stars and goggles! Them bunny lasses ain't got nothing on under them shirts!
Several of the town's ladies had stepped out of a dress shop to stare at the rancher's daughters.
That is positively disgraceful!
It certainly is!
Shut up, you dried-up old biddy.
Well, Marshal, I insist you do something about those hussies!
Hussies? Who you calling hussies, you old bag?
They haven't broken any laws, Mrs. Hunsaker.
There should be a law against them!
Well, you can take your law and shove it.
The two women's hands flew to their mouths in shock.
Oh.
My heavens.
What's the matter with you two? You both look like you just ate a green persimmon.
Yeah, both of you are all puckered up worse than them two old bags.
Now that'll do, ladies.
Or you'll do what? Arrest us? On what charge?
Disturbing the peace.
Frank walked over to the young women.
Perhaps creating a public nuisance.
You wouldn't dare.
You want to try me?
Is that man bothering you, ladies?
Bobby Doolin stepped out of the hotel.
Shut up, Doolin. This is none of your affair. Keep your mouth out of it.
He sure is bothering us. He's a big damn pain in the butt. That's what he is. Damn sure is.
Why don't you pick on somebody your own size, Morgan?
Doolin walked to the edge of the boardwalk to stand and smile at Frank.
You've decided this is the day you brace me, Doolin?
Looks like it.
You're a damn fool.
Bobby Doolin did not take any outward offense at Frank's words. He continued to smile and stare at Frank. Lucy and Peaches walked their horses out of the way and swung down from the saddle. They stepped up on the boardwalk to watch the impending action between the two gunfighters, both of the young ladies jiggling as they walked. The workmen's eyes were busy, shifting from Frank and Bobby to Lucy and Peaches. It was a difficult choice for the men to make.
You settle the marshal's hash this day, mister, and you can have anything you want.
Bobby cut his eyes for just an instant.
Anything?
You're looking at it.
Disgusting!
Whores! That's all they are! Both of them!
Peaches made an obscene hand gesture to the women.
Oh, my word! Did you see that, Edna?
Do something, Marshal! I demand you do something with those vile women!
Yeah, Marshal. Do something.
Bobby stepped off the boardwalk into the street.
Anytime you're ready, Doolin.
I think I'll make you sweat a little before I kill you, Drifter.
Or give yourself a little more time to work up some courage.
Oh, you flatter yourself, Drifter.
I don't think so. I just spoke the truth, that's all.
A large crowd had gathered, lining the boardwalks on both sides of the street. Doc Archer and Richard and Lydia Carmody were among the onlookers. Lydia had her little hanky at the ready.
I'll send you to hell, Drifter. No man calls me a coward and lives.
Then stop talking and make your play, Doolin, before you cause me to fall asleep right here in the street.
Doolin regained his smile and gave a quick glance at Lucy and Peaches.
You pretty ladies ready to see Morgan fall?
Yeah, kill the bastard!
Frank stood in the street, waiting. It was something he'd done 100 times in his long and gunsmoke-filled past. He was as ready as he could be.
Arrest that man for ignoring the law, Marshal, and those two women as well.
Shut up, Jenny. This is gonna be a killing, not an arrest.
Don't tell me to shut up, Henry, or you can make the Davenport your bed tonight.
Frank paid no attention to the crowd. He took a step toward Doolin. Doolin took a couple of steps toward him. Frank judged the distance at about 40 feet, a comfortable shooting range. Neither man blinked. Their eyes were locked on each other. Each one waited for the other to make a move. Bobby Doolin's right hand twitched, and Frank's peacemaker seemed to leap into his hand at the same time. Bobby Doolin slowly sank to his knees as bright crimson began staining the front of his white shirt. He lifted his 6-gun, earing back the hammer as he did so. A second splash of crimson appeared on Doolin's shirt.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
Bobby Doolin then fell over on his face in the dirt. Doolin's pistol dropped from suddenly weakened fingers. He made no attempt to pick it up. He remained on his knees, in the dirt of the street, with his head hanging down, watching the blood that pumped from his chest pool underneath him. Frank slowly walked toward the man, stopping a few feet from the hard-hit gunfighter.
You're supposed to be dead, Morgan.
I decided to stick around for a while longer, Bobby.
I can't believe I missed you.
It happens.
I don't ever miss.
You did this time.
I reckon so.
The doctor's standing right over yonder on the boardwalk, Doolin. Want me to call him over?
What the hell for? I'm lung shot.
Just thought I'd ask. How about the preacher, then? He's a good man.
Ain't exactly the brand type, Morgan.
You want me to take a look at your wounds, Doolin?
Hell no.
Well, here comes the doctor. You tell him that.
Doc Archer knelt down beside the man.
Will you let me unbutton your shirt?
Let me alone, Sawbones.
As you wish. But I might be able to save your life.
Don't piss on my leg and tell me it's raining, Doc.
I beg your pardon?
I'm hitting both lungs. And I know it. I'm having trouble breathing. I'm not long for this world. Leave me alone.
Reverend Carmody walked forward.
The Lord will not desert you. Have no fear of that.
Doolin lifted pain-filled eyes to look at the preacher.
Who in the hell are you?
Reverend Carmody, I serve the Lord.
You don't reckon you could serve me a glass of whiskey, could you?
Oh, certainly not. Strong drink is not what you need right now.
Says who?
Doolin fell over on his side, his eyes closed.
Has the man expired?
Not yet, but it won't be long. He's unconscious.
You want him carried over to your office?
Might as well.
The doctor stood, brushing the dirt from the street off his dark trousers.
Oh, he was right about one thing. There isn't much I can do for him now. Somebody can go tell the new undertaker he's got a customer. What's the undertaker's name? This place is growing so rapidly I can't keep up.
Wilbur Morris. I'll send... No, wait. Here he comes now.
He's a barber, too, isn't he?
Yeah, and he's having a proper bathhouse built behind his place.
Sitting down at a table at the Sunburst Cafe, Frank suddenly felt weary. He wasn't sad about killing Bobby Doolin. The man had killed a lot of perfectly innocent men for money. That wasn't it. Frank was just tired. Tired, well, mentally, he guessed was the right word for it. The newly hired waitress set a mug of coffee in front of him.
Thank you.
No, Marshal Morgan. Thank you.
As Frank dumped some sugar into his mug, Platt entered. The liveryman got a mug of coffee and sat down at the table with Frank.
Might not have seemed like it from where you were standing, Frank. I probably didn't. But you was a blink of an eye faster than that Doolin.
What I was lucky, John. Real lucky.
Lucy and Peaches took off out of town.
Good. I don't feel like putting up with the foul-mouthed antics of those two.
They're a pair, ain't they? But they do jiggle nice.
You better not say that in front of your wife.
Oh, don't worry. I don't want a frying pan upside my head.
What's the latest word on Mark Rogers? Have you heard anything more about him?
Just that he was tied up like a wild animal and hauled off to the insane asylum. Feller I talked to said he was a babbling idiot, foaming at the mouth crazy.
You don't seem very surprised about it.
I'm not. I always knowed something was wrong with him. I've seen the man go out of his head over nothing at all, but I can't imagine what's going to happen to the diamond with Mark Jr. at the reins. Nothing good, I can tell you that.
Won't Junior listen to Grant on this matter?
Yeah, maybe, for a time. But Junior's a lot like his dad in that he's thick-headed. Mark was never wrong about anything, and Junior is just like him. And he's got a bad temper. He's dangerous, Frank, like a rattler.
I'll keep that in mind.
John looked out the window and smiled.
It's going to be a real nice town, Frank. Thanks to you.
I played only a small part, John. The people did most of it.
If you say so, Frank. You give any thought to sticking around and making this your home?
Very little, John. I like to keep on the move. Makes life more interesting.
Don't you ever get lonely?
Sometimes. I don't dwell on that.
As long as there's a trail, you're gonna find it and follow it?
I guess that sums it up.
Both men fell silent and watched as a rider came into town, reining up in front of what would soon be the marshal's office and jumping out of the saddle.
I think he's looking for me.
Frank reached for his hat.
Now sit still. He's heading this way on a run.
You know him?
One of them new homesteaders. I don't know his name.
Marshal! Marshal, you gotta come quick.
Settle down. What's happened?
Somebody blowed up the dam. It killed a couple of diamond hands.
Good.
When did this happen?
About a couple hours ago, I guess. I don't rightly know. But that ain't all. Bunch of cowboys attacked the Mosby homestead.
Wait a minute. Where's the Mosby place? That's a new one on me.
The Mosbys bought the homestead from the Weber family. They pulled out last week.
Weber? John?
And don't ask me. Folks is buying and selling homesteads faster than I can keep up with.
Weber filed on a section that butted up against the mountains. Land's all right, but he didn't stay on it long. It was idle for some time. Mosby was just proving it up.
Who are you?
Dick Edwards. I bought the Landry place over east of here. Landry told me all about the settlers in the valleys and the two big ranches. And about you, Marshal Morgan.
I met Landry once. He was a rawhider.
He sure was that. Place was held together with rawhide and rope. But I've been working from can to can't, getting it back in shape. Took me a break today and brung the wife in town to do some shopping.
Here comes the doc.
Doc Archer started over to Frank's table.
Coffee, please, Charlie.
Coming right up, Doc.
Doolin just died. He regained consciousness long enough to ask me to tell you he'd see you in hell.
Frank smiled. It was just like Doolin, who'd always been known for his warped sense of humor.
I notified Wilbur Morris. He's going to handle everything. What about Doolin's horse and personal belongings?
Did he have enough money to pay for the funeral?
Oh, yes.
I'll take care of the rest of his things. I want to check in his saddlebags for the addresses of some family he might have.
Well, what about the dam in Mosby?
Was Mosby hurt?
Hurt? Hell no, he wasn't hurt. He was killed.
The bodies of the slain diamond hands had been removed from the site. Frank found only a couple of dark stains on the dirt to show where they'd fallen and bled out. He eased Stormy to the bank of the river and sat there watching it, thinking of all the trouble it was going to cause in the town. The river was flowing freely once again. The dam had been destroyed by a massive charge of dynamite. Large boulders and even some trees had been uprooted and strewn about by the force of the blast. Frank headed over to the Mosby homestead. The house and barn had been burned to the ground. There was no sign of Mosby or any members of his family. Frank had no idea who might have hauled off the body of the homesteader or where the body might have been taken. Stymied as to what to do next, Frank rode back to town. It was full dark when he swung down from the saddle at the livery. John stepped out of his office to greet him.
What'd you find out there, Frank?
Nothing, John. No bodies, no nothing. Lots of tracks leading in all directions.
Figures.
Anyone from the Diamond been in to file a complaint?
Nope. You didn't expect them to, did you?
Not really. I wouldn't if I were walking in their boots. I'd want the law to stay far away.
I think Mark Jr.'s taken the bull by the horns, Frank. And now there's no telling who's going to get gored.
Do you think Grant was unaware this was going to happen?
I'd bet on it. Grant's not the fire breather Big Mark was. Given half a chance, I think he'll pull back and take his losses.
You think it'd be worth my time riding out and having a talk with the man?
Sure wouldn't hurt none. Joe was telling me just today, a bank is looking to come in here. That was your doing, wasn't it, Frank?
I might have had my attorneys write a letter or two.
I thought as much when Joe told me about the bank.
Mind if I bed down here tonight, John? I just don't feel like riding back to my place.
Help yourself. You know where the bunk and coffee pot is. See you in the morning.
I'll head out to the GP early. Maybe I'll get there in time for breakfast.
See ya.
One more thing, John. You seen Steve Harlan around lately?
I ain't seen hide or hair of him in days.
Wouldn't be like Harlan to pull out of a fight. Something's going on, and I better find out what it is. I don't like surprises. Night, John.
Frank rode up to the main gate to the GP ranch house just after dawn the next day. He did not have a long wait before riders came out to meet him.
You got a lot of damn nerve, Morgan. Coming out here where you ain't been invited and you ain't wanted.
The El Paso Kid. Here a long way from home, kid.
I come and go as I please, Morgan.
Frank looked at the other riders, his expression remaining pleasant and open, like he was just out riding and had stopped to chew the fat.
Jack King. I'm surprised you're still alive, Jack.
Yeah.
Jess Stone. How you been lately, Jess?
Just like a grade of cotton, Drifter. Fair to middling.
What do you want, Morgan?
To speak to your boss.
Maybe he don't want to talk to you.
Then let Grant tell me that.
The three gunslingers exchanged glances.
You wait right here, Morgan. I'll see.
He turned his horse and rode back to the main house. Jack King and Bob Campbell sat their horses and stared at Frank, neither man speaking. Their expressions were grim, jaws set.
Nice day, isn't it, boys?
It was till you showed up.
Now, Bob, that isn't a very neighborly thing to say.
I ain't feeling neighborly, Morgan.
Too bad. Are you ill, Bob?
No, I ain't ill, Morgan. I just don't like you.
Now, Bob, calm down. What did I ever do to you?
You whooped Dick Fuller, for one thing. He's a friend of mine. We rode a lot of trails together.
Was a friend of yours? What happened to him?
You cut his spirit, Morgan. After that whooping you give him, all the sand seemed to drain out of him.
Well now, Bob, it seemed to me that Dick was a tad on the cocky side. He got all up in my face that night. He was asking for a come down, don't you agree?
Not one as bad as you give him. He was stove up for a damn month after that fight.
I'd be lying if I said I was sorry to hear that.
He's working for 30 a month and found down in Kansas. He ain't packed a six gun in years.
I probably saved his life then, Bob. Dick was no gun hand. And it seems to me a man ought to know his limitations.
I got to agree with Morgan on that, Bob. Dick couldn't hit the side of a barn with a pistol. It was only a matter of time till somebody blowed him out of his boots.
He was still a friend of mine. And I ain't got no use for you, Morgan. None at all.
I'll probably lose a lot of sleep worrying about that, Bob.
Hell with you, Morgan.
Whatever.
Frank looked over Bob's shoulders toward the distant ranch house.
Here comes Jess with a couple of more men. This might get interesting now.
That's the boss with him.
Jess, on the other hand, a man Frank didn't know, hung back while Grant rode up to the closed gate and sat in his saddle, glaring at Frank.
What the hell do you want, Morgan?
To talk to you, Grant. Am I on time for breakfast?
My God, Morgan, you got your share of nerve. I can't take that away from you.
The ride out here made me hungry, that's all.
Grant smiled and reached down, unlatching the gate.
Well, hell, come on in. I never turn nobody away hungry.
Frank never had any doubt about that. It just wasn't the Western way. And for all of his faults, Grant was a man of the West. After beefsteak and eggs and fried potatoes and biscuits, the men took coffee into the study and sat down. Both rolled cigarettes. Grant looked over at Frank and smiled.
I think I'd rather put boots on your feet than feed you for any length of time, Morgan. You've got a right good appetite.
That was a fine meal, Grant. I thank you.
Thank the cook.
You mean Lucy didn't prepare that?
You have to be joking. That girl wouldn't know a frying pan from a coffee pot. Enough jabber. Let's get down to it, Morgan. Spell it out for me. What do you want?
I want this war to end.
Tell the sodbusters to clear out of the valley, and it will.
You know they're not going to do that.
And the fight goes on.
You don't sound too happy about it.
Truth is, I'm not.
How many hands you have working for you, Grant?
Not counting the gun hands. About 20 or so. More come roundup time. Why?
Have each one of them file on a section of land. Then buy it from them. Same with your kids. You've already proved up hundreds, maybe thousands of acres on your own. It's yours legally. Add 20 or 25 sections to that, and you're not going to lose very much land at all.
Yeah. Sounds simple, don't it?
It is simple, Grant. And bloodless. And the beauty of it is, it's not much more expensive than paying for all these gun hands to sit around waiting to kill somebody.
There's one hitch to that, Morgan. If I let these gun hands go, Mark Jr. will hire them. And that's a fact you ain't taking into consideration. And it is a fact.
You let me worry about Jr.
Grant sat staring out of the window for a few moments.
Town's growing, ain't it?
By leaps and bounds, Grant. Got a telegraph ready to go. And probably a bank is coming in.
We need a bank close by. I'm glad to hear that. Hell, I'll be glad to see the war over. I ain't a young buck anymore. I'm not full of piss and vinegar like I was years back.
Plus, you got cattle wandering all over hell and back since you've been neglecting them to fight this war with the homesteaders.
You're mighty right about that. Roundup time's come and gone. Time for my regular hands to get back to work.
Then end your part in it. Most of the guns you've hired will move on. Some will hire on with the diamond, but not all of them. Junior can't continue this fight on his own. It'll be too expensive for him to try and foot the bill for it all by himself.
He'll damn sure try, Morgan. I'm really beginning to believe Junior's got some of his father's madness in him.
Maybe. You might be right. But your part in all this is over.
You have my hand on it, Morgan.
Grant rose from his chair and extended his hand. Frank stood up and took the peace offering. Half the battle had been won. Frank rode over to the diamond spread, hoping to talk to Mark Jr. He was met at the main gate by Steve Harlan and Pete Dancer.
I was asking about you, Steve. Hadn't seen you around lately. Thought you might have pulled out.
I'm staying in the main house here, Morgan. Mark was kind enough to offer me a room. Much nicer than the bunkhouse.
Pete Dancer rolled his eyes at that, and Frank smiled at the expression on the man's face.
Is Mark here?
He isn't receiving visitors at this time.
Well, that's too bad, Steve. When do you suppose he might be receiving visitors?
You? Never.
You'll tell him I stopped by?
He knows you're here, Morgan. Peaches wanted to shoot you.
I'm certainly glad you stopped her.
I'm reserving that pleasure for myself, Morgan.
You want to do it now?
In the very near future, Morgan. Soon.
How do you figure you can do what Doolin couldn't? You gonna back shoot me, Steve?
You're pushing me, Morgan. That's not a wise thing to do.
When I decide to push you, I assure you, you'll know it.
Go on back to town, Morgan. You ain't gonna get to see Mark this day. Or any day, for that matter.
You always rode for the brand, Pete. You're riding for the wrong brand this time.
Maybe so, Morgan. But I took the man's money.
Is it money enough to die over?
No one lives forever. You've overstayed your welcome, Morgan. Ride on.
And you're talking for Mark?
I'm talking for Mark.
Frank turned Stormy's head and put his back to the two gunslingers. He headed back to town. Frank stopped at the Kalin homestead on the way back and brought them up to date.
The GP is really out of it?
We shook hands on it. Out here, that's as good as a signed contract.
But Mark Jr. is still going to pursue the fight?
Looks like it. But he can't last alone. I'm hoping he'll soon realize that and fire his gun hands.
You think he will?
Frank shrugged his reply. Virginia poured the men coffee and then sat down at the table with them.
I got some pie I baked yesterday, Frank. You want some?
No, thanks. I had breakfast at the GP.
You actually sat down at the table with Grant Perkins?
Yeah. Had a nice chat with him.
Well, I'll be damned. I guess the GP is really out of this trouble.
I think so.
Was his daughter Lucy there?
She might have been in the house. She wasn't at the breakfast table.
How about the boy, Victor?
I didn't see him. I don't think he'll be any threat. He's a drunk.
But Lucy might be, if anything were to happen to the father.
That's a possibility.
Have you told Paul Adams about your meeting with Grant?
No. I stopped here on the way back to town. You're the only people I've spoken with.
Is it all right to tell the others?
Sure.
Virginia reached across the table to touch her husband's hand.
It's hard to believe there will finally be some peace in these valleys.
Thank the Lord.
And Frank Morgan.
I best get going.
Frank grabbed his hat and headed for the door.
Thanks for the coffee, Mrs. Kalin.
You sure you don't want some of that pie?
If I keep eating your pie, I'm gonna have to get a bigger horse.
Frank sat on a bench in front of his almost-finished marshal's office and watched as a dozen gunslingers rode out of the valley. Most of them were men he didn't know. What bothered him was that none of the known gunfighters were leaving. That meant they had probably signed on with the Diamond Spread.
So the war is half over.
John Platt walked up and sat down.
The bad boys are still around. Junior ain't gonna give up.
He's a damn fool, John.
You get no argument from me on that.
I guess that's the end of the gunfighters leaving.
Not a one from the Diamond pulled out.
No. And I guess Junior hired a bunch from the GP. Damn him for a fool.
Wires up! They're getting ready to send test signals!
Finally connected with the outside world. That's both a good thing and a bad thing, I reckon.
Frank pointed to a building under construction across the street.
The new bank building. It'll be a nice place.
You gonna take a hand getting us a newspaper in here, Frank?
No, I don't really know anybody who'd be interested in doing that. But I heard Doc Archer and Joe Wallace talking this morning at the cafe. They know somebody. Now that the wire is up and they can get news in here, I don't think it'll be long before some printer comes along and sets up shop.
I do like to read the newspaper.
The stage is bringing in papers every week, John.
And I read every damn word in all of them, when I can get my hands on them. Usually by the time I get a hold of them, all the words have damn near been read off them.
I'm gonna take a walk, John. You wanna come along?
Nope. I got a shipment of feed coming in any time. It's overdue now. I'll see you later.
Frank started his stroll at the west end of the town and began walking up the south side. The town was growing daily. This was not going to be some fly-by-night settlement. Valley View was here to stay, although not necessarily by that name. New towns had a habit of changing names after a few years. They also had a habit of getting rid of gunfighters turned marshals after the town had settled down. It seemed once they got all citified and highfalutin, they forgot about the men who'd put their lives on the line to make it happen. It was as if they were embarrassed that they'd ever needed anyone as low-class as a gunfighter to help them become civilized. And if he stayed around, Frank knew the same thing would happen here. But he had no plans of sticking around long enough to be asked to leave. Frank smiled and touched the brim of his hat as he passed several ladies out for a morning of shopping and gossiping.
Ooh, such a handsome man.
Too bad he's a cold-blooded killer.
Shush! He might hear you.
Frank walked on. He did not take offense at the remarks of the women. He'd heard it all before, and much worse, from good citizens. Many times, in fact. Joe Wallace hailed him from across the street.
Wait up, Frank!
The mayor jogged across the wide street to join Frank on the boardwalk.
Joe, slow down. What's the rush?
Got news, Frank.
We have another new business coming in.
Oh?
Carpenter's working on the building right down there at the end of the block.
He pointed to the west end of the town. The town had now grown to two full blocks.
I know, Joe. I gave the people the lot to build on.
I might have known you'd be one step ahead of me. Doc Archer's real excited to have our own apothecary shop. Now all we need is a newspaper.
All in good time, Joe.
I know, Frank. I'm getting impatient. I can't help it.
This town will be busting at the seams before long, Joe. You'll be making so much money, you and your wife will go to Paris, France to celebrate.
Oh, no, we won't. All I have to do is look at the waves on the lake and I get sick. You'll not get me on an ocean.
Joe! Supply wagons are here.
I'll see you, Frank.
Take it easy, Joe.
Frank could understand why the merchant was excited. His store business had increased dramatically in only a couple of months. Frank stopped and watched a trio of GP hands ride into town. They waved and smiled at Frank. What a change in attitude, he thought. Before his talk with Grant Perkins, the man's hands wouldn't have given him the time of day, much less a cordial howdy.
You boys tried out the new cafe yet?
Not yet, Marshal. Food good?
Best in the territory.
We'll give it a whirl. Thanks for the tip.
Glad to oblige. You boys have a good time.
The GP hands tipped their hats and rode on, reining up in front of the saloon. Frank's smile faded as he watched several diamond hands ride in from the other end of Main Street. Frank had been told by several longtime residents of the area that while the cowboys who rode for the diamond brand were not gun hands per se, they were a randy bunch, used to getting their own way at any cost. According to the townspeople he talked to, the diamond men had been that way even before the current troubles started. The diamond hands dismounted and entered the saloon. Frank stepped off the boardwalk and walked across the street. Time to earn his pay and make sure they didn't cause any trouble while they were in town, he figured, as he unconsciously reached down and loosened the hammer thong on his right-hand Colt. Doc Archer approached him, intercepting Frank before he could enter the saloon.
Frank, you look troubled. Is something the matter?
Maybe. Diamond and GP men just came together in the saloon.
And you think there will be trouble?
Possibly. You better stay out here.
I might better serve the public if I go in with you, don't you think?
You might change your mind if the lead starts flying.
Let me worry about that.
Suit yourself.
Frank walked to the bat wings and stepped inside, Doc Archer right behind him. In the couple of minutes the hands had been inside the saloon, they had already taken up defensive positions, spread out and facing each other from opposite ends of the bar. Frank stepped to one side, out of the direct line of fire, pulling Doc Archer with him. The GP hands had noticed Frank, but the diamond hands had their backs to the front of the saloon and did not see him enter.
You're all a bunch of yellow bastards!
A diamond hand stuck his hand out in front of him, pointing his finger at the other men.
Back off, Dale! Before you step into something you can't pull away from!
Maybe I don't want to pull away from it, shorty. Especially if that's something you're talking about is something as low as snake crap like you.
I don't take that kind of mouth from no one.
Shorty stepped away from the bar.
That's it. There'll be no gunplay in this town as long as I'm Marshal. Unless it's me doing the shooting. Now back off and settle down, both of you.
Or you'll do what?
Dale turned to face Frank with his right hand hanging down next to the butt of his pistol.
You really want to fight me, cowboy?
I might. I damn sure ain't afeard of you.
No one said you were. I'm the law in this town and this part of the county. And I'm telling you to cool down, both of you.
And I'm telling you to go right straight to hell, Morgan.
No, Dale, take it easy.
Shut up, Nicky. Stay out of this. This is between me and Morgan here.
Frank took a step toward the angry diamond hand. Shorty held up both his hands.
I'm out of this, Marshal. We didn't come in here looking for trouble.
I know you didn't. Dale, cool down, man. Have yourself a drink and everything will be jam and honey.
Stick it, Marshal.
You're backing me into a corner, Dale. Don't say anything more.
You go to hell, Morgan.
Dale, Morgan's giving you a break. Back off.
Shut up, Nicky. This ain't none of your affair.
Dale's right hand clenched and unclenched as it hovered over the butt of his six gun.
I'm gonna kill you, Morgan.
I don't think so, Dale.
I do. Draw!
Just as Dale's hand touched the butt of his pistol, Frank gave him a hard right fist to the side of the jaw. Frank reached down and jerked Dale's six gun from leather, laying it on the bar. Dale rolled over, crawled to his hands and knees, his head hanging down, dripping blood onto the dusty boards of the saloon. Frank bent over, grabbed him, and jerked him to his feet. Frank then twisted one arm up behind his back.
Now, by God, you'll do what I tell you, or I'll twist your arm off and beat you to death with it.
All right, all right. You're breaking my arm. Better that than him shooting you.
Nicky shook his head in relief that his friend was still alive and breathing.
You're going to jail, Dale. Now walk.
Dale was escorted out of the saloon toward the recently completed jail. Dale bounced off the far wall in the cell, slipped, and sprawled across the bunk bolted to the wall.
I'll kill you!
Cool off, Dale.
Oh, let me out of here!
He rushed the bars, trying to grab Frank through them.
Maybe tomorrow, Dale. Depends on your attitude and how reasonable you get by then.
Damn bastard!
Yeah, yeah.
Frank walked out of the cell block and into the office.
I'll kill you, Drifter! You just wait!
Frank picked up the jail ledger and wrote Dale's name, the date, and the charges against him. Nicky and the other Diamond Hands walked in, Nicky carrying Dale's pistol.
I figured you'd want this.
Thanks. I'll keep it for your friend.
Yeah. When do you reckon he'll get out?
Tomorrow. It'll take him that long to cool down.
You could have killed him.
I figured I could take him without gunplay.
He owes you his life.
He'd been drinking some before we left the ranch. And he don't handle whiskey too good.
He'll have plenty of time to sober up.
And he'll be madder than hell when he does. Maybe you better let us keep his six gun, Marshal.
Good idea. Take it back to the ranch with you.
Yeah, you got any objections to us having a few drinks and a meal before we leave town?
None at all. Providing you steer clear of the GP hands.
We ain't got no quarrel with them. Personal, I wish to hell this fight would stop so we could all get back to work. We got cattle spread all over the damn place and a whole lot of calves that need branding. Oh, and them gunslingers on the payroll is a real pain in the ass. They don't do nothing except lay around eating and drinking the boss's whiskey. Most of them wouldn't know a branding iron from a teacup.
Frank had to smile at that. For a fact, most of the hired guns he'd met over the years were lazy as a pig in slop and smelled about the same.
Enjoy yourselves in town, boys.
Frank locked the front door of the jail behind him, and he once again resumed his leisurely stroll around the growing town. He was hailed by the blacksmith, Earl Martin.
Got your first guest in the new jail, Marshal?
Just for overnight, Earl. I'll cut him loose in the morning, after he pays a fine.
Money for the town's treasury.
Frank smiled and waved and walked on. Wilbur Morris, the undertaker slash barber, approached Frank as he strolled up to the man's place of business.
Morning, Marshal. Certainly is a wonderful day, isn't it?
Yes, it is, Mr. Morris. Very nice.
First haircut is free, Marshal. Anytime you need a trim.
I'll remember that, Mr. Morris. Won't be long, I'm sure.
Anytime, Marshal. Anytime at all.
Frank stopped in at the telegraph office, watching the telegrapher at work for a few minutes. There was no doubt about it. Valley View was on the move. The telegrapher looked up at Frank and nodded his head in greeting.
Staying busy?
Yes, I am. Surprisingly so. I have a telegram for Mr. Mark Rogers, Jr. You know anyone in town who can ride out to the ranch with it?
Some Diamond Hands are in town now. I can give it to one of them for you if you want.
I'd appreciate that.
He handed Frank a folded piece of paper.
It's bad news, I'm afraid. A death in the family.
Oh.
The telegrapher went back to work. Frank walked out of the office and opened the paper. The message was informing the Rogers family that old Mark Rogers was dead. He had died in his sleep. Officials at the institution wanted to know what to do with the body. Frank made his way over to the saloon. Frank spotted Nicky, the Diamond Hand, by the bar.
You better get this out to Junior.
He handed him the telegram. Nicky read the brief message and nodded his head.
There'll be a party at the ranch house tonight, Marshal.
A party?
Yeah. Mark and Peaches hated their father. Youngest kid, Mike. The only one who could reason with Big Mark.
I never hear much about him. What kind of man is he?
Yeah, he's a good boy. Level-headed. And he's no hand with a horse or a gun, but he's smart. Knows business.
So if Mike took over the diamond, you think the war would end?
Oh, you bet it would. In a heartbeat.
and Lucy Perkins has always been sort of sweet on Mike. But Lucy's loud and brassy, and Mike is quiet. He's a thinker, likes to read books. I figure if Lucy would calm down a mite, her and him would get together.
Any chance of that happening?
Well, stranger things have happened, I reckon. But Mike would have to take a belt to her rear end to calm her down.
That'd be worth seeing.
If she didn't shoot him.
Frank left the saloon and began walking back to his office. He paused when he saw Steve Harlan ride slowly into town, coming in from the East End. Something about the way the man sat in his saddle triggered an alarm in Frank's mind. It looked like he was riding into town for a showdown. Steve reined up at the livery and handed the reins to the young man John had hired to help out. Frank stood on the boardwalk and rolled a cigarette. He watched as Steve walked over to the saloon and stepped inside. Frank slipped his peacemaker in and out of leather a couple of times, making sure it wasn't hung up. With Steve, he was taking no chances. Frank stepped off the boardwalk and into the street. He began walking back toward the saloon. Both Joe Wallace and Doc Archer had seen Frank work his .45 in and out of leather, and they both began walking toward him, the doctor coming from his office, the merchant from his store. They met Frank in the middle of the wide and dusty street.
What's the matter, Frank?
It's time.
Time? Time for what?
Time for me and Harlan to get this matter between us settled once and for all.
How do you know that? Is this some prearranged thing?
No.
The man just rode into town. You two haven't exchanged a word. How could you know?
I just know. You boys keep out of the way.
Frank started walking toward the saloon.
We're going with you.
Suit yourselves.
Frank pushed open the bat wings and stepped inside, the doctor and the merchant right behind him. Harlan was standing at the bar, a pot of coffee and a cup in front of him. He looked up briefly as Frank entered and walked to the closest end of the bar.
Morgan, share this pot of coffee with me?
Don't mind if I do, Steve.
Barkeep, a cup for the marshal, if you will.
A cup was placed in front of Frank, and the bartender, a new fellow in town that Frank did not know, quickly backed away. Harlan slid the coffee pot down the bar toward Frank.
You want this sugar bowl, Frank?
I'll take it without this time, Steve.
As you wish.
What's on your mind today, Steve?
Killing you.
Took you a couple of months to make up your mind, Steve.
I wanted you to worry a bit.
I haven't worried about it at all, Steve.
Always calm and collected and ready. Right, Morgan?
You could say that.
I'm going to shoot you right in the middle of that fancy star you've got on your chest, Morgan. They can bury you with that piece of tin embedded in your heart.
I don't think that's gonna happen.
I'm better than you, Frank.
We'll soon know, won't we?
Aren't you going to attempt to arrest me for threatening a peace officer?
No.
Oh?
What'd be the point?
I'm disappointed.
Well, you can live with your disappointment, Steve. For a little while longer, anyway.
You really are a very arrogant man, Frank. Are you aware of that?
Not aware of being arrogant.
Well, perhaps not. Let's say supremely confident. Would you admit to that?
I suppose so.
Do you find this coffee to your satisfaction, Frank?
It's a bit weak for me.
Frank set his cup on the bar, then turned to face the gunman. He leaned his left elbow on the bar and let his right hand hang at his side.
I thought so. I found it the same. Pity.
You can always have the barkeep fix another pot.
No point, Frank. You don't have time enough left for another cup.
One of us doesn't, that's for sure.
Gentlemen, I think perhaps we can work
in agreement. I don't give a damn
what
you think, Doc. Stay out of matters that you don't understand and don't concern you.
You, sir, are a very rude man.
Your young friend has sand, Frank. I'll give him that.
He's new to the West. From Philadelphia.
Philadelphia? Well, well. I went to college with a fellow from Boston. He was one of the most disagreeable people I have ever had the misfortune to meet. Arrogant chap.
You went to college?
Yes, Frank. Your friend is from Philadelphia, all right. Same tone of superiority in his voice. Another insufferable bastard. Do you want me to shoot him, Frank?
I'd rather you didn't, Steve. We need him around here.
Very well. But only as a favor to you.
Steve slowly moved a step away from the bar and squared his shoulders, facing Frank dead on.
You ready, Frank?
I suppose so.
Faster than the blink of an eye, and without a change of expression, the men drew.
My God!
Harlan leaned against the bar and smiled at Frank. He dropped his eyes and stared at the spreading red stain on the front of his white dress shirt.
I'll be damned.
We probably both will be.
You beat me.
Blood dribbled from the corner of Harlan's mouth.
I can't believe it. You actually beat me.
Not really, Steve. You just missed, that's all.
I never miss.
You did this time.
Harlan slowly raised his right hand and laid his six gun on the polished bar, grabbing the edge of the bar to keep from falling down.
How in the hell could I miss, Frank? You're not 15 feet away.
You got anxious, I reckon.
Damn.
Doc Archer stepped forward, raising his hand.
Let me look at your wounds.
Keep your hands off me, Doc. I don't like doctors, and I especially don't like doctors from Philadelphia.
I might be able to save your life.
Very doubtful, Sawbones. Just keep away from me.
Harlan looked back at Frank. His eyes were squinted against the pain, but Frank could still see the sadness in them.
There won't be any songs written and sung about me, will there, Frank?
Probably not.
I'm faster than you, and yet you get all the glory. Somehow that doesn't seem fair.
Glory, Steve? What glory?
Blood was beginning to drip from Harlan's chin onto his shirt.
Books written about you, a stage play that's still being performed across the country, songs sung about your deeds. That's glory, Frank.
And that's what you wanted, Steve?
I would have liked it. Yeah.
Harlan lost his grip on the edge of the bar and slowly sank to his knees. He did not have the strength to pull himself back up. With Harlan's gun now out of the dying man's reach, Frank holstered his peacemaker. Doc Archer started toward the downed man.
Don't come near me, Doc. I'm dying. The bullet nicked my heart. Hurts every time it beats. I'm filling up with my own blood. I can feel it.
You don't know that.
Oh, I know it, Philadelphia. You take my word for it. I know it.
Make another pot of coffee. Make it stronger than you did this crap. And make it quick.
Yes, sir. Right now, sir.
I have some laudanum.
Drink it yourself, Doc. I'm not leaving this world all drugged up on painkiller.
What do you want on your marker, Steve?
Harlan's pain-clouded eyes cut to Frank, and the gunman smiled, his teeth gleaming redly in the low light of the saloon.
And I was killed by the best, long before my time.
You sure about that?
I'm sure.
Then that's what'll be on it.
The Diamond Hands and the GP Hands had gathered just inside the saloon near the Batwings. They stood together in silence and watched and listened.
Got anyone I need to notify?
Not really. After my parents passed, I didn't see the use of going back to home territory. And then there was that warrant out for me back there. A little matter of a killing. Bullet must have nicked a lung, too. I don't think I care to hang around much longer to die naturally. Not like this.
What do you mean?
Not only are you an arrogant Philadelphia bastard, but you're hard of hearing, too.
I don't think I like you very much, Mr. Harlan.
What I mean, Doc, is this.
Harlan fumbled at his belt buckle and pulled out a small .41 caliber Derringer. Frank's hand went to the butt of his pistol.
Adios, compadre.
So long, Steve.
Harlan stuck the Derringer to his temple.
My God.
Coffee's ready.
Back in his office, Frank went through Steve Harlan's belongings. There were no letters, no address book, nothing that would tell how to notify any friends or family. It was as if Steve had never existed. Frank looked up as Wilbur Morris walked in.
What can I do for you, Wilbur?
Dead man didn't have any money on him, Marshal.
Frank tapped Steve's wallet on the desk.
Plenty of money in here, Wilbur. Give him a good funeral.
When was he born, Marshal?
I have no idea.
How about his horse and rig and guns?
I plan to sell them and give the money to the town.
Fine idea, Marshal. That's a fine idea. Well, I best get to work.
You do that, Wilbur.
After the undertaker had gone, Frank poured another mug of coffee and took it back into the cell block.
Got some coffee for you, Dale. Give a shout when you're hungry, and I'll get you something to eat.
I appreciate it, Marshal. Sorry about the way I talk back yonder in the saloon.
You just had too much who hit John, Dale. It's happened to us all one time or another.
When can I get out of here?
You got $10 for your fine?
Sure.
All right. Just as soon as the GP hands ride out, I'll cut you loose. How about that?
Sounds good to me. Say, you ain't got the makings on you, have you? I seem to have lost mine.
Frank handed them a tobacco sack and papers.
Keep them, Dale. I have more on my desk.
You're all right, Marshal. You'll do to ride the river with. You'll have no more trouble out of me. You have my word.
Sounds good to me, Dale. Enjoy your coffee and smoke. I'll be back to cut you loose in an hour or so.
I reckon I'll still be here. Say, Marshal, this jail ain't never been used, has it?
You're the first person to be locked up, Dale.
Huh. That's kind of an honor, ain't it?
Well, I guess you could look at it that way.
I'll scratch my name in the rock so people remember me.
Go right ahead, Dale.
I believe I'll do that.
Frank walked out of the cell block, smiling at Dale's remarks. Frank had never considered being put in jail much of an honor.
Something amusing, Marshal.
The Reverend walked up to Frank.
Just something the prisoner said, Richard. How are you and Lydia today?
Both of us are well, thank you. Lydia is busy ordering books for the opening of school this fall.
I'm sure she'll be a fine teacher.
Without a doubt, Marshal. Well, I must be on my way. I promised to stop by and visit some elderly ladies today. We're going to discuss the Bible.
The Bible answers all things, right, Richard?
Certainly.
But sometimes a man sort of has to read between the lines, so to speak, right?
I don't know what you mean, Marshal.
Well, I read the Bible many times. Not the entire thing, mind you. But I enjoy just opening the Bible and reading.
You have read God's Word.
Many times, Richard. You believe that animals such as dogs, cats, horses go to heaven?
Richard Carmody looked at Frank for a long moment.
As a matter of fact, Frank, I do. Does that surprise you?
Not at all. I'll see you around, Richard.
Richard stood and watched Frank walk away.
What a strange man. Simple in his style of life and wants, yet so complex in other ways.
John Platt saw Frank walking up to the livery.
Seen you talking to the preacher, Frank. Looked like it might have been serious.
Not really.
Five more gun slicks rode out about an hour ago. Did you see them?
No. Did you recognize any of them?
Not nary a one. But they was gunfighters, I'm sure of that. I don't leave too many still on the diamond payroll.
Just the really bad ones, John.
Minus Steve Harlan.
Yeah.
Did he have any kin or friends who might decide to come after you, Frank?
I don't think so. I didn't find any trace of family in his belongings. And from what he said as he was dying, I don't think he kept in touch with whatever family he may have had.
You know, even taking into consideration what kind of man he was, that's sad, Frank.
I know. I felt the same way, John. But it's the life the big dealer handed us, so we live with it.
You're not putting yourself in the same class as Steve Harlan, are you, Frank?
In a way, yeah.
That's balderdash. I ain't never heard of you hiring out your gun.
I still got the brand of gunfighter on me, John. And no matter what I do, I'll always have it.
People who know you put the man first, Frank.
Frank did not reply. He was watching a lone rider come in from the east end of town.
Lucy Perkins. All by herself, too. Wonder where Peaches is.
I don't know, but I need to speak to Lucy and cut that diamond hand loose from jail. I'll see you, John.
You be careful, Frank. Lucy's got a mean streak in her.
Frank waved and walked across the street just as Lucy was reining up in front of the dress shop.
Miss Perkins, may I speak with you for a moment?
Sure. Why not? What's on your mind, Marshal?
Peace between the diamond spread and the rest of the valleys.
Good luck, Marshal.
She cocked her head to one side and smiled at him.
You figure I can help you do that?
Yeah, I do.
I'd be real interested in learning how, Marshal.
How about I buy you a cup of coffee?
Sounds good to me.
I gotta turn a man out of jail first. I'll meet you at the cafe.
I'll be there.
5 minutes later, Dale was riding out of town, heading back to the Diamond, and Frank was sitting at a table with Lucy Perkins.
How can I help heal these valleys, Marshall?
You like Mike Rogers, Lucy?
The young woman smiled as a bright red blush started at her shoulders and worked its way up her neck to cover her cheeks. She really was a very pretty young lady.
You get around, don't you, Marshall?
I listen. I hear things.
She nodded her head as she sugared her coffee and added some milk from a small pitcher on the table.
Me and Mike been sort of liking each other ever since we first learned to walk.
What's been keeping you apart?
You sure you ain't that Cupid fella in disguise, Marshall?
Now that is something I'm really sure of, Lucy.
Well, first it was Mike's pa kept us from really courting. He was always afraid if Mike and me got together, my father might try to interfere with the Diamond Ranch's business.
Is that all?
No. My father was also against it. Seems he felt there was something wrong with Mike's dad's mind, and if Mike and me were to have kids, might be inherited or something.
You're old enough now to make up your own mind about who you want to court, Lucy.
That's right, Marshall. And now that you mention it, I might just decide to mosey on over to the Diamond Spread and see if Mike's still interested in us hooking up. But don't think that's going to make any difference in this range war. Even if I could convince Mike it's the wrong thing to be doing, it won't make any difference at all.
Why not?
Because Mark runs the Diamond, Marshall, not Mike. I think if Mike tried to interfere, Mark would turn hard against him.
Violently, you mean?
You bet. Mark doesn't like Mike. Never has.
Why?
Mike is smarter. By a whole bunch. Mark can't hardly even write his name. Mark has never read a book in his whole life. Mike reads all the time. He knows what's going on all over the nation. I mean, he's usually 3-4 months behind because of the delay in getting newspapers in here, but he knows what's going on. You can bet on that.
You think Mark would physically hurt his brother if Mike tried to take over the Diamond?
In a heartbeat. He'd try, at least.
Mike's got a few secrets he's kept from his brother.
Mark thinks he's slick with a gun. But he's a big nothing compared with Mike. Mike is a natural with a pistol. He just doesn't think a gun is the answer to very much.
He's right.
Strange remark coming from you, Frank Morgan.
Mike is quick with a 6-gun?
He ain't near bouts as fast as you. Hell, who is? But he's better than his brother, for sure. And he's a crack shot. He rides off miles from the house to keep in practice. Never wears a gun around the ranch.
I'd like to speak with Mike. You think you could arrange that?
Sure. I think I'm going to take me a ride over to the Diamond Spread in the morning. Tell him I've come to see Peaches, but I'll find a way to tell Mike you want to see him.
Does Peaches know how you and Mike feel about each other?
Sure. She's sweet on a man owns a small ranch over near the county seat. They'll get hitched one of these days. Marshall, I know what people think and say about me and Peaches, but hardly any of it is true. I know we sometimes have bad mouths, but we're not bad girls. If my daddy ever even thought I was cuddling in a hayloft with a man, well, he'd beat me half to death. And Big Mark would have done the same with Peaches.
I thought that might have been the case.
Me and Peaches was just funning and egging that gunslick on, that dueling fella. If he had made a move towards me or Peaches, we'd have took off like a whirlwind.
You tell Mike I want to see him, all right?
I'll tell him tomorrow.